Hello, and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks Podcast. This is Rod Stuckey, here with me, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Rod. How the heck are you?
I am doing great as well. Welcome to the Sunshine State. I hear you're down this way somewhere about in beautiful, sunny Florida.
Yeah, we are. We're actually in Orlando. Not doing any of the theme parks this time, but we're enjoying the Florida weather.
Awesome. It's hot.
Yeah, it is hot.
It is hot. So, all right. Well, hey, we're going to jump into our podcast today where we're going to be talking about some of our interesting posts from the T3 Facebook group, including how Tesla fixed over 99% of all recalls while cars were parked at home. Should you use a flatbed when towing your Tesla? How to know if your 12-volt battery has died and more. But first, for those who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
We have a great community. It is the largest Tesla Tips community in the world. We're right at 282,000 members, and we focus on providing real-world, really good tips and tricks to maximize the Tesla ownership experience for current owners, and then we also have a lot of prospective owners, as I'm always saying. And if you haven't joined our Facebook group, be sure that you do so. It's facebook.com/groups/Tesla Tips. That'll be on the screen here. And also, I just want to mention that we're releasing the best content on our YouTube channel. So be sure that you go to the comments and get the link if you're not watching on YouTube. It is youtube.com/@Tesla Tips and Tricks. So be sure that you like and subscribe this video as well.
Yep, absolutely. Our YouTube channel is growing with really practical, real-world tips, just like the ones that we're about to jump in and talk about today. That's where we get our inspiration from, is what real Tesla owners that are out there using and owning Teslas day in and day out are asking for. So we're going to jump in here. Number five. Tesla fixed most issues with recalls on cars parked at home. This made things faster for everyone. And I just wanted to kind of preframe that this post did not get the normal 300 comments that we're used to with a lot of the posts that we cover, but it was something that you and I just kind of thought was really cool and made Teslas different and wanted to have a quick discussion about.
Yeah, Tesla handled 99.2% of its recalls in 2024 through software updates called OTA, which is over the air. Now, they're not the only manufacturer who does this, but the numbers here are pretty astounding. So Tesla issued 15 recalls in 2024, 15. And those recalls affected over 5 million vehicles in the United States. And out of the 5 million vehicles, 5.057 million were fixed using over-the-air software updates. So out of the 5 million, 5 million basically is what that's saying. And what was left was 39,000 cars that needed physical repairs for a recall. So 5.06 million, basically, cars were fixed with recalls using OTA, over-the-air software updates, and 39,000 cars needed to be taken to the service center. So when you look at that and compare it just in the automotive industry as a whole, there were 401 recalls in 2024 across all brands, across all manufacturers. Only 14 of the 401 total were able to use over-the-air updates. And of those 14 OTA updates, Tesla was 8 of the 14, which means that the other 6 were all other manufacturers combined. And so if you think about this, I remember in my Dodge Ram 2500, I got a notification and a letter that was, hey, you got to take your truck to the service center. It needs a software update. Man, wait, my software update required me to go to the dealership. So if you think about this, that means that the dealership has to schedule and get me in. And we all know the service centers are already jam-packed and expensive. They're having to bill Chrysler for the labor to take my truck in and to update the software. To instead, Tesla is just saying, oh, okay, done. Updated, fixed. And what makes Tesla able to do this is that they built their cars differently. The car is primarily software, which a lot of other vehicles are these days too, but they designed it to be updated over the air to where other manufacturers historically haven't done so. They're doing it more, but when you look at a Tesla, it's also built differently in that software controls their safety systems, it controls their power control of the wheels, the all-wheel drive, it driver assistance, pretty much everything that you can imagine is controlled by software. These things really are rolling laptops. So it saves us as a consumer, as a customer. I really appreciate this because it saves me time. So I was impacted by a couple of those recalls in 2024. And you know what? I never had to take my car to a service center to get any kind of recall work done. So it saves me time. It saves Tesla time. That keeps their cars less expensive over, you know, all things considered. If they have less costs, it means that you're going to have a less expensive car. And it's good. And this is great.
Yeah. And I think when an important differentiator with other car manufacturers are software driven as well, but it is my understanding that the other manufacturers have tried to essentially daisy chain together many, many different types of systems and vendors, and it's a very fragmented operating system, whereas the Tesla's software is all built from the ground up. It's one environment. It's completely, the legacy manufacturers have just, as they've moved to a more technology-driven approach, there's just so many different systems and vendors and programmers that have to get involved. And it's just not the natively created environment that you get with a Tesla. And it really is, this statistic that you just shared is one of the many benefits of owning a Tesla, that you can do this. I still have a GMC truck right now, and it's got four recalls on it. And I was trying to
one's get a big one.
One's a big one. And one's a real big one. But then there was another one that they didn't have the parts in stock and they weren't going to be in start. It was a brake, something brake related. And I'm like, well, I don't want to take it in now. And then they can only fix two of them. And I'm going to have to go back and have, another one fixed. So it really is a huge benefit of owning a Tesla. So, and then just one comment here, Tori, is that David Wright said, which makes you wonder, why did they call them recalls if they didn't need to recall them to fix them? And I just wanted to point out that recalls, manufacturers' recalls are heavily regulated by the government, and there's a strict, strict amount of criteria. And that's why a lot of times the notifications and the old school process can be typically even a bit obnoxious in some cases. And all of that is because they are at the mercy of compliance. And so Tesla doesn't really have a choice when these recalls, so to speak. I'm sure many of them could have easily just been referred to as a software update, because if it's not safety or performance related, but once the government gets involved, now they're regulating everything. Now they're making you call something a recall that is very, very minor, but it's their ball, their game, their court, their rules, and their referees, and the manufacturers have to comply. So
I totally agree. One more thing I wanted to point out here. I'll point out two more things. You were talking about your GM and how it had four recalls. And I was just looking at the numbers here. This is great news. So we mentioned Tesla had 14 recalls in 2024. Do you know how many Chrysler or Stellantis, which is Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram? 72. Ford, 62. BMW, 36. General Motors, 33. So when you look at the overall
rolling chassis, not software
rolling chassis,
just a rolling chassis.
Well, all things considered, yeah. Even software, you're talking about Tesla. Now, they have five models and the other manufacturers have more, but to me, that doesn't matter. What this speaks to is that Tesla is doing a good job of the nuts and bolts, the big stuff on building their cars, or they would have more recalls. They had fewer than any other manufacturer on this list that I can see, and a lot less than some of the other ones. Like, I mean, you look at Stellantis at 72 and your Ford at 62 compared to Tesla at 14, you know, that's a lot less.
Yeah. Side note, my 6.2 liter V8 GMC truck, recall, they don't have a fix for it right now. And so they have told me to keep driving it. So that's a little terrifying. I'm not actually driving.
Your 6.2 engine is wearing out prematurely and will break, but we don't know how to fix it. So just keep driving it.
Yeah. I'm not driving it. My son's driving it, but it's still a little nerve-wracking that, you know, they don't have a fix for it. So
I said two things. So let me cover the second thing. There's one more comment. Andrew Bell says Tesla has mobile service and access to troubleshoot your problem before they come to your house as well. So that's another big advantage that ties into this. When a mobile technician is coming, or if you just call Tesla and say, hey, I'm having a problem, I need to schedule a service, they can tap into your car and say, well, you have a problem with your 12-volt battery, or you have a problem with this, or, oh, you need to come in. They can do remote diagnostics to where most other manufacturers can't do that. And most other manufacturers don't have mobile service. That is selectively available in areas. I've noticed that it's more available in states that don't have a lot of Tesla service centers. They have more mobile service, which makes sense to me. But still, remote diagnostics is a big plus for Tesla as well.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's move on to our next post. Number four, is this an acceptable way to tow my Model Y? I was told to only use a flatbed.
Yeah, so Larry Shilkoff has the best comment here.
Hey, and will you just kind of explain, Tori? I know a lot of people are listening and can't see the picture. Would you just kind of take us through for those who aren't watching and just listening what this picture shows?
Oh, yeah. So the Tesla is being towed by a tow truck. It's not a flatbed, but it's got the device that lifts the front of the car up using the wheels. And then it's got the two little wheels that lift up the back of the car so that the wheels on the car aren't spinning. And that's what Larry Shilkoff's comment says here. It's the best comment. It says, as long as the wheels aren't turning, you're good. So as you read through all these comments, you see people saying, no, it should have been a flatbed. It should have been a flatbed. But Cameron also says, this is basically the same thing. So people have just a misunderstanding of this. Steve commented and shows a picture of his Model 3 being towed and says, this is fine. He says, yes, this is fine. It's acceptable. And you can see with his car, for those who can't see the picture, it's lifted off the back. And this is what the tow truck that you can see in the picture of the original post, this is what it will look like. The rear wheels will be lifted by the tow truck itself. The front wheels will ride on two smaller wheels per side so that the wheels aren't spinning. The big thing that you have to watch for here is that when your Tesla is being towed, that the car, that the wheels aren't free spinning because they're connected to motors. And so you don't want those motors to be free spinning without, you don't want them to be free spinning because there's flatbed options and then options right here to where you can tow the car without it being drug and having the wheel spinning.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to visualize if you can't see the pictures. I think the big takeaway is if the wheels are off the ground and they're not spinning, it's fine. Tori, tell us about, there is a tow mode, car wash mode. Take us just through what would be an application, what that is, and how that is different from this dolly system that we're looking at.
So you want to put it in tow mode so that you can move it to a place to where you can get it on a dolly or a flatbed. So in other words, all the brakes are on, the wheels are locked up whenever you're in park, right? Park and brake is on. What tow mode does is it allows you to roll the car. And it's not designed for towing the car, just to be clear. It disengages the parking brake and it enables the car to be moved and rolled around at a slow speed for a short distance. It's not for towing. It's to move it to where you can get it on a flatbed, or in this case, a dolly lifted off the ground.
Yeah, I think that's an important, that's an important detail to understand for sure. So,
and, you know, to be clear, if this were all, if this were just rear wheel drive and it were be towing, it were being towed with the rear wheels lifted, I think technically it would be fine. But for me, I'm always going to either use a flatbed or the dollies that lift the whole car off of the ground and have it towed that way.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Better safe than sorry.
Absolutely.
You're already typically in a spot of bother if you're getting towed, so you don't want to make things worse. So, all right. Number three, woke up this morning to go to work and found my car in this condition. Won't power up. The app won't load up and the door was ajar with the windows still fully up. Won't start. I don't know what to do. Next appointment at my local service center is a week away. Please help. Tori, take us through this picture, what we're looking at here before we dive into these posts.
Yeah. For those who can't see the video, the picture just shows the rear window is halfway down. The front door, driver's side door, is just ajar. It's just barely cracked. And so Ruby, who is the original poster on this, the OP, basically came out and her car was dead. And the tendency when this happens is to think that your high voltage battery is bad, but that's not usually the case. In fact, in this scenario, I've never even seen it once be the case. Not that it couldn't be. But what happens is every Tesla has two different battery systems. It has a high voltage battery that powers the motors and powers the air conditioner and the heater, stuff like that. Then you have a normal car battery that's either 12 volt or 16 volt. It powers everything else. It powers the computer system. It powers the door locks, the windows, the door opening. So all of, and the lights inside of the car, all of that stuff. And so whenever you have an issue where your car appears to be dead, like the screen is dead, it's almost always a 12-volt battery problem, not a high-voltage battery problem. And the good news with a 12-volt battery is they're very inexpensive to replace, just like in a normal vehicle. They're a little over $100 for that, for the battery, for the low-voltage battery. And this surprises me, but I've watched so many comments and I've actually had this quoted from Tesla myself, one of the service centers. Tesla service center is cheaper than any of the other places that I've found at replacing a 12 volt battery. So yeah, they charge.
Read the comments here and says hers was replaced in 15 minutes at the Tesla service center, not under warranty for $159. So
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you go to the parts store and you buy the battery, you're going to spend $150.
Right.
And
yeah,
she got all of it, including labor, done for $159.
Yeah.
And another thing is you can do this yourself. If you're a little bit technical, you can do it yourself. You pull the weather stripping around the frunk area. There's two bolts or four. It might be four bolts that unbolt the plastic container for the frunk. When you pull it out, now you have access to your battery. So if you've replaced a battery in another car, you can probably do it in this car. But if you don't want to worry about it, Tesla service center will get you taken care of. And this is one of those, since your car is inoperable, that they can get you in faster oftentimes than what the schedule shows in the app. So have it towed there. That is another consideration, though, that, yeah, okay, it was only $159 to replace that. But if you have to get the vehicle towed there, Somebody else did mention you can jump these cars. And I won't go into all the details for that. But in fact, maybe we can do a video for that. But I wasn't prepared for going through this. But you can typically, if your 12-volt battery is dead, you can jump it. using jumper cables. Sounds crazy, like a normal car, but you can. And there's it's pretty simple to do. Just follow the instructions. There's videos out there. No. Tesla covers it. And then you can drive the car to the service center.
Yeah, Ruby posted an update and said, jumped the 12-volt, screen-powered up, all alerts came on roadside on the way. So I wasn't quite sure why roadside was still on the way if she jumped it. Wait a minute, she replied here and said, we were 80 miles from home and my husband wanted to drive home, deal with it there. Nope, I wasn't taking that risk. No, I would have, that's, isn't that funny? That was actually the answer I was looking for. You and I would have gone for it. Ruby said, no. I mean, Susie said, no, we're having the, no.
We're just going to get it towed.
Yeah. No, we're just going to get it towed. Yeah. No, I'd have put the pedal to the metal, baby.
So this is what's interesting on a Tesla. So when you look at an ICE vehicle and your battery dies, you jump it off, you start the car, the alternator spins and powers the car. Even if the battery is dead, the alternator is powering the car. It's very similar on a Tesla, except for instead of the engine having to start to power the car, what happens is there's an inverter, but the inverter is not on until you start the car. And so what the inverter does is it takes power from the high voltage battery and dedicates it to the low voltage system. So when you jump it, you're basically turning on the inverter, like starting the car is a good analogy here. Interesting that they're very similar that way. Chip says, this is a good, I love this, Chip. Thank you for saying this. He says, obvious answer here, but did you reboot? And obviously that's not a problem. That wouldn't have solved this problem in this case, but
it solves a lot of them though.
60, 70, 80% of problems. Yeah. It's like all phones, devices, TVs,
printers,
internet, your internet. Hey, you having trouble with your internet connectivity? Yeah. Restart your modem and your router. It's crazy. And then one more comment here. Let's see here.
Hey, Tori, while you're looking for that comment, Ruby did not post the year make the year and model and mileage. And we just, for our listeners out there, we always appreciate the educational value we get from these posts. And if you'll mention your model, your trim, your model, and your mileage, it really helps, you know, it's for people to give you better feedback. But I was curious, Tori, your thoughts. Any idea what to expect of how long a 12-volt battery will last in terms of, you know, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years? I know you've had some experience with this. What, you got any guesses, or is it like everything, there's too many variables to sling that out?
While there are variables, I would say you're going to get, on average, at least 4 or 5 years out of a good battery.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You get from an ICE vehicle,
and,
right?
Right, and that's why whenever this happens to you, and these, you have these symptoms, if you're at that 5 year mark, that was what I was kind of thinking from an ICE vehicle perspective. If you're having these symptoms and you're at the 5 year mark, that helps you narrow it down versus if that happened at, 1 year, that's less likely. So,
yep. So Jean-Luc, here's the comment. And we've covered this, but I just want to make sure that people are understanding a couple of big takeaways from this. Jean-Luc says, happened to me and I had a hefty towing bill. He says, I wish I'd joined AAA earlier. It takes 24 hours to kick in for free towing. Once you join, mine was the 12-volt battery. So Jean-Luc, the big takeaway here would be not AAA free towing, but that you can jump the car off. When the 12-volt battery dies, you can still drive the car. You just have to jump it off. So don't pay that hefty towing bill. Jump the car off and drive it there. And then last comment here, Chris says, don't wait for an appointment to have it. I'm sorry. Chris says, don't wait for an appointment. Have it towed to the service center. They'll look at it. They specifically keep some time slots open for tow-ins like this situation. Worst case, they would give you a loaner until they can fully look at it, but this definitely sounds like the low voltage battery. So that's the last takeaway here. Just if you're two big takeaways is you can jump it off and drive it there. Don't pay for a hefty tow bill. And if you're going to take it to the service center, or if you're having a tow-in situation, that you are having to tow the car in, the Tesla service center can, if your car is inoperable, they can get to you faster than what the schedule shows.
Yep. All right, let's move on here to a post from Michael Swaller, who says, FYI, we have to do an FSD post every week in our podcast. It wouldn't be the
seems like
without it. He says, FSD will not avoid a tire in the road, laughing emoji. We have 140 comments of people wanting to share their feedback on this. Take it away, Tori.
I like Tinder's comment. It's really funny. But it will swerve to avoid Spanish moss. I thought that just made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because FSD is not perfect. And that is... Cameron Jensen says a perfect comment here. That's why you have to be paying attention. That's why you're supposed to be paying attention. And so it may not avoid a tire in the road, or it may. There's a comment down here. I'll try to put this video on the screen here. But for those who can't see it, Justin says, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Mine avoided one the other day without disengaging. And he's showing a video of his car moving around an obstacle. And
actually, for those who can't see the video, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 lane interstate with a lot of traffic. So it's pretty, more technical than just avoiding, whatever that debris is in the road, because there's cars and traffic in lanes on both sides of him. So,
right. Yep. And it's funny going through and reading the comments here. If you're part of the group, what you see is a lot of animals that it has slowed down for or has not. So, for instance, Vijay says it does break for a squirrel, but not a tire, which is funny because the squirrel is so small. But I think part of that, the Spanish moss and the squirrel one, if they're moving, I bet the cameras can pick it up a little easier than if it's just sitting still. Greg says it doesn't stop for an alligator in the road, which is, that would be,
Dub Williams says my FSD actually avoided a possum in the road. And I'm guessing that probably, well, it could have been alive. There a lot of times they're not, but, and then
roadkill, it doesn't slow down for, I've noticed that.
Joe Ja Quok says doesn't avoid potholes either. You know, Tori, the interesting thing to me here is I know you and I were talking about speed bumps earlier, and you said yours does good with speed bumps. I've had a time or two where mine hit the speed bump a little faster than I like to do that. But the other interesting thing about this, and I know us enthusiasts are like, we want this full autonomy to happen, like where we can just, you know, kick back and completely chill, but I've found myself not wanting to experiment too much with this. I feel like mine doesn't do so great, and I know there's lighting and shadows and a lot of variables. When I'm coming up on something in the road, I don't take any chances. I don't want to find out. So maybe my car swerves and misses debris and things in the road better than I realize, but I am not willing to take that risk. And I do pay attention. It strained me that I have to pay attention. So I think it'll keep getting better. But part of my answer to this is, how do you really know unless you just
let
say, full send, I'm going to find out, you know, because it could swerve at the last minute, right?
If you feel that's what I was going to say. I have definitely swerved around obstacles in the road. And the car, it starts moving over to the line. And so I go, oh, I know it has it. But for the bigger stuff, when I see it, I'm just immediately tapping the brake and taking over. But it is funny, the comments here, or a shovel. You mentioned the speed bump. Sturgio said it doesn't slow down for speed bumps, but my comment was it does for me. But now that I'm thinking of it, it's speed tables. I have a lot of speed tables around me, which are bigger, and they have reflectors on them, so maybe the camera can pick it up. There's also signs that say, you know, speed table. And so maybe it picks up the signs, because you know it can read the speed limit signs. So it might read those signs and go, oh, that thing coming up is not a shadow. It's a speed table. But last comment that I'll make here is I think that there is, especially with Hardware 3, the lighting on the road, the time of day. I've noticed if it's really sunny outside and it's like middle of the day, and it's super bright, and I go down a road where the pine trees are going over the road, but it's bright, but then there's shadows, it'll slow down. And in fact, that there was one comment here. Let me find it. It said, Rocco said, those truck shadows, though, thank God I don't hit any of those, because it slows down for a truck shadow. But it's not perfect, but honestly, if we look at this, FSD is, I love my Tesla. I love it. There's so much I love about it, but the FSD is really Tesla crack. And it is what keeps me definitely coming back.
I know, you know it.
My next new car, I'm sure that I'll get a Tesla next time I buy a car, or I'll get a different car and keep my Tesla. As much as I love the other stuff, the FSD, while imperfect, those who love it really love it.
Yep. There's really, and I think those of us who are enthusiasts and owners think that everyone knows. And there's so many people. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and we were finishing up golf, and he dropped me off at the car, and he's like, does that thing really drive itself? Ha ha ha. I was like, yeah. He said, have you ever done it? I said, every day. And you know, and I'm like, it'll drive me home today. And he's like, nuh-uh. And he just thought it was all a big myth. And I just was kind of thinking to myself, wow, you know, this guy doesn't even know what the excitement that those of us who have our cars drive us around experience on a daily basis. So, but anyway, enough about FSD. We had to talk about that. It wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't talk about FSD. But let's move on to our last post from Stephen Jameson. And this is kind of a basic one. So I do want to mention there are, you know, the Tesla Tips and Tricks group is all about no dumb questions. We're here to help, you know, new owners, experienced owners, and just to have a place to all hang out and enjoy one another and share friendly advice. There are no dumb questions, so don't feel like that, whether it's basic or advanced. But this is a question that says, the word hurry suddenly started to appear next to the miles per hour, typically where it might say chill. Any idea what this means? Just got a software update, and I'm assuming it has something to do with that.
Yes. Yeah, so there are three settings for autopilot. And so if you go on your screen, tap the vehicle, go to autopilot, there are three settings that you can choose from. There is chill, there is standard, and there is hurry. So it says full self-driving supervised profile. This is your profile. When you put it on chill, it'll drive a little slower with less frequent lane changes. On the interstate, it won't go in the left lane very much. It'll just kind of follow traffic and stay back, go slower. Standard drives more standard. Hurry does faster driving with more frequent lane changes. Although I have seen a lot of people comment and say, even in chill, it drives pretty aggressive. And I've noticed that too. I've tried it in chill. And keep in mind that your max speed offset will help too. So if your max speed offset is 25 or 40%. Like for a long time, it recommended 40%. I'm an aggressive driver. I did not feel comfortable with letting this have 40% max speed offset. So that means that, you know, in a 45, you're saying it can drive over 65 miles an hour.
And I'll take that a step further, Tori. You know, something I experience on a daily basis, I live on a parkway here. And there's a 10 mile an hour variance. Speed limit is 25 and my car thinks it's 35. And so that happens from time to time when road speed limits change so I like to keep that in consideration too, that, you get that big of a variance, like the hurry mode, and then you get on a road where there's a speed limit, 10 mile an hour speed limit, mix up, and you can, you can have FSD take you right in the good expensive ticket.
Yep. Jeremy Kloss has the best comment here. It says, hurry replaced what used to be called assertive in full self-drive as a setting. And that's, I've not thought about that until I read Jeremy's comment here, but that's right. There was assertive and standard back in the day. And a few months ago in early 2025, they replaced that with three options: chill, standard, and hurry, which replaced assertive. Just a few comments here. A lot of people are saying click the right scroll wheel to change it. You can click it left or right on the scroll wheel, but that's very selective models. Like, you can't do that in mine. So Andrew Cam says click the right scroll wheel left or right to change it. But in my Model X, you can't control the mode using the wheels on the steering wheel. But a lot of people are saying that here. Ali says, you've probably changed the setting accidentally. Just put it back in chill under your autopilot. He says FSD settings, but it's under the autopilot tab. And then one more comment here this one is my favorite comment. It's John Seidel. He says, did you let your kids borrow the car by chance?
Exactly. That's hilarious. I gotta give it out. Shout out to our man, Sam Dominic. He's one of our moderators. He's one of the big muscle behind this group being as good as it is. But Sam says, yes, mine has chill, standard, hurry. In hurry mode, I find FSD hogs the left lane, which I don't like. I use standard or chill to keep out of the left lane. And man, I couldn't agree with Sam more. He and I are singing off the same sheet of music, because I do not like hogging the left lane. The left lane is for passing. And just because my FSD car is in hurry mode doesn't mean I want to be in the left lane unless I'm passing someone. So I thought that was a really good comment from Sam.
Jim replied to this. And by the way, Sam, if you're listening to this, thank you for all of the work that you put in to our group. You make it a much better group. We really appreciate you. But Jim's comment just adds a little bit more detail here and explains it perfectly. He says, this is my biggest gripe about hurry mode. I really like that it doesn't lag behind slower traffic. It will go around slower traffic, but I don't want to be a left lane ornament. And it'll even fight me on changing lanes when I turn my blinker on to encourage it to move over. I've noticed this too. It's funny you guys are saying this, because even legally, the left lane is for passing. So I have seen videos of people getting pulled over for driving in the left lane when there's traffic behind you. I've seen people get pulled over and get a ticket or a warning for doing that, which I appreciate. Don't drive in the left lane, slowing down traffic. If there's somebody behind you, move over. Let them go around. So I totally agree with you guys.
Yep. That's good stuff. So, well, with that, that wraps up this episode of the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. Tori, it was fun as always. I'll let you get back to the family. Enjoy your getaway to beautiful sunny Florida, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.